We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
We asked a question, I think it was a rhetorical one. Would Matt Nagy prefer Andy Dalton if he were really given truth serum? And because of the predictability of the offense, because he gets rid of the football quicker and he's not going to take 9 yard sacks on average. Knowing NFL guys as well as you do, been around coaches a long time, how many of 100 NFL coaches do you think would favor at this point in time Dalton over Fields?
I think it's probably a higher percentage than you'd imagine. It could even be like a 50-50 breakdown. It seems obvious that Justin Fields is the guy you would prefer long term, but there are coaches that just want you to get rid of the ball, that want to stay on time, that don't want any kind of a breakdown and bailout and a run at some point. I think there are a lot of people that want the ball released quicker.
Right. I agree with you. I think that coaches tend to be guys who like to see what they study, what they plan, executed in the way they studied and planned it.
That's it.
And there are more guys out there than you think, because Justin Fields right now at this stage of his development is a no, yes guy, right?
Yes.
He's going like, okay, oh my gosh, it's unscripted. Oh my gosh, why is he doing that? Oh, nice run. Oh, nice pass. But you can't make a living that way. And coaches are guys who like to know how they're going to make a living. So I think overall, if you take 100 guys, you might get more people that favor the predictability a 10-year veteran gives you over the unlimited potential of a rookie.
And I think you stay with the rookie, and I think you take your knocks and you try to get better. We have a texter saying if that was Dalton on Sunday, everyone would have booed him out of the stadium.
Well,
I got 14 points with Andy
there's
Dalton.
That. There's
that. That's true!
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. Oh, it's a beautiful day in the fine city of Chicago. The championship run begins today. Tonight, the Bulls unveil their 2021 team. I am very pumped up, really looking forward to seeing them beat the Pistons in Detroit and get one of our winter sports teams into the win column.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, I hope so. I think the Bulls start the season tonight after an offseason of upheaval, new roster, new faces, new collection of talent. I am tempering my enthusiasm. I am excited to watch what they've put together. But I have learned after four games of the Blackhawks not to get too excited about these debuts because you can be disappointed. So I'm going to be a little smarter this time.
Yeah.
I'm going to be surprised pleasantly, I hope.
Oh, I hope so.
And I think that I am... Very curious. I'm very curious how this all will come together.
Yes.
And I have a lot of confidence. See, you're going to get me all amped up now. I have a lot of confidence in Billy Donovan's ability to get the most out of this roster.
Look, when I said that I was pumped up, I also said that I want to see one of the winter sports teams win a game.
I know.
The Blackhawks, in case you missed it, 0-3-1, they did get a late goal yesterday.
So
that managed to make things look better.
How many people were left to see it?
It was a 4-1 final. And
against the Islanders, who came in winless.
Yeah.
And left confident.
Yeah, the Blackhawks came in winless and left less confident.
Disheveled, as an organization right now. Trouble. Not a good look. Kind of bad hockey, sloppy. They haven't led this year. Think about that. Four games.
Yet to lead.
They've yet to lead. In 5-on-5 opportunities, they've been outscored 15-2. Not good. Not good.
I thought Kirby Dach put it well when he said that you can't win the Stanley Cup in October, but you sure can take yourself out of the running. And that's what's happening.
Based on his season and a half of experience, is that what
he's
basing
it on? Well, it's an old adage. You don't have to be a seasoned pro to understand an adage.
He's right.
Of course he is.
He's right.
We all are. Everybody's right. All is right in the world, except for the Bears having some issues with the whole COVID protocol thing. Our guy Big Z tweeted out that that it's possible that they will go into the enhanced protocols. Obviously, you heard Dustin tell you, and everybody probably knows by now that Robert Quinn was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. I got to tell you, I can't help it. I go back to Matt Nagy saying basically he's done all he can do and he's done talking about the COVID thing. And Ryan Pace saying, we'll bring anyone in here that helps our roster. We don't care about their COVID status.
You view this as an organizational failure?
Well,
or lapse?
I think the unfortunate reality, and I think we learned this from Jed Hoyer and the Cubs, is that you've got to keep after it. You've got to keep after it because it's out there. And you want everybody on the same page, and you want to keep after it. This idea that I'm washing my hands of, well, I said it. I said something two or three times. What am I supposed to do? Say the same thing? Yes!
And Ryan Pace said that after they signed Perryman
he said,
off
he
the
basically
Lions
said that they didn't care heap. About they didn't care about COVID status, that they wanted the best football team they could get.
Well, it makes you wonder. It does make you wonder and makes you curious, and all these kinds of questions are valid ones. I think when Damian Williams went on the list, we wondered the next day about his vaccination status. I think Robert Quinn, it's a similar.
Mike Fury.
You wonder what's next.
That's the problem.
You know, we talk all the time about, especially in football, I mean, you want certainty, predictability.
Yes.
You want things that you know are going to happen the next day. Football coaches are creatures of habit, very regimented. And this COVID outbreak, is that an overstatement? Outbreak.
I mean, it's three. Yeah,
that really complicates matters. You have concerns about the safety and health of the people involved, but also just as an organizational standpoint, you can't predict tomorrow, and you never can. But especially with this COVID situation, it makes it even harder to prepare for a challenge as great as the one Sunday in Tampa is.
Would the Bears have won if Damian Williams was available against the Green Bay Packers?
No,
I don't think that made a difference. Would they have done better if they hadn't lost Mike Fury to the wide receivers coach? Okay. And is Robert Quinn and his availability on Sunday going to affect the game? I mean,
absolutely.
Will the Bears now be 15-point underdogs?
It's going to change the line, and it certainly will change your mood if you're a Bears fan.
Yeah.
Robert Quinn, through six games, arguably has been their most valuable player. On either side of the ball, who's had a better season? I don't know that you can name any player.
Well, Mac has half a sack more.
I'm not going to take anything away from Khalil Mack. I guess that is a valid counter argument. Maybe Robert Quinn because of the element of surprise. And maybe some of his plays seem to be bigger flash plays. Yeah, Mac, Quinn, bottom line is you're losing one of your two most valuable players.
Yes.
And a pass rush against a team,
yes.
You can't afford to give that quarterback any more time.
Yeah, a team you need to rush, frankly. And then, you know, let's not forget the Bears' rankings on offense. They're out again.
I'd like to, though.
Yeah.
I'd like to forget them.
The 246.2 yards per game, last in the league. The 4.27 yards per play, last in the league. They are last in the league. Now, they're seventh in rushing. That's good.
Well, let me tell you about that, Mully. What happens there is sometimes your defense doesn't get you the ball back or create the takeaways, should I talk about the defense if you ask me about the offense? Maybe not.
Hey, Coach, why do you only have 117.2 passing yards per game, dead last in the league, 4.72 yards per pass, dead last in the league? Have we mentioned that the defense hasn't gotten the ball? They've been on the field too long? Okay.
This is what happens when you have a rookie quarterback. Not that it's all on him, and certainly I'm not suggesting that it is, but they're going to be there's going to be the inconsistency. It's more than that, but that's part of it. You know, we talked yesterday. We came in with the clip about the, you know, when you lack predictability in your offense, it gives you you're going to have numbers like this. Eventually, Justin Fields will be in a position where he'll make those big plays. He'll hit those open receivers. He'll make the right decisions. It's not all on him, but that is part of it.
All the news was bad. Deion Bush put on the IR with his quad injury, so he's out for three more games. So much for the master plan of benching Eddie Jackson. Don't think that's going to happen. And Eddie Jackson took down his tweet against Lance Briggs.
Yeah.
I'm just going to erase it. Forget I mentioned this one. Yeah, the 10-year-old tweet that he retweeted.
That was pretty silly.
That was dumb. I don't know that it's a great look to be taking it down either. I don't know. You should never have tweeted it, retweeted it. You should never have taken it down, in my opinion. But either way, let's just forget the whole thing. Okay, Eddie's a big part of it, and you need him to play. And then Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show, and he basically said everybody's soft if you don't, if you're upset about him telling you he owns you, which is very amusing to me.
But
let's take a listen to
it. I saw Olin Krut said he wanted to punch me in the face. Look, I think that is to say, and I don't know Olin, and I respect him. He played in the league for a long time. But are we getting that soft as a society that we can't have worth now? I mean, you know, somebody can pay for a ticket and say whatever the hell they want, which I think they should be able to. That's fine. But the one time you say something back to him, that gets caught on it, that gets caught on hot mic, which, you know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that gets said from time to time. Now it's that, you know, I've disrespected, you know, an entire city and organization and my own organization.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Aaron.
Yeah, it is.
You want to talk about soft? How was your off season? Mother of God.
It took him a while to get to that point, too, because he was in the role of sort of football Gandhi talking about all of the things that, you know, were wrong with society. And this and he took very circular discussion about cancel culture and a woke culture and
holy God,
very, very stream of consciousness moment for Aaron Rodgers. They give him as much time as he wants, and they just sit there as he sort of has this monologue, and it's kind of his innermost thoughts he's sharing.
Sure.
But yeah, he basically implied that Olin Krut was soft.
I like to punch him in his face.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I've heard a lot of words to describe Olin over the years. Never.
I don't think I'd ever use soft to describe Olin. I don't think that's accurate. And I like the way he somewhat dismissed, not dismissed, but it was a dismissive tone. Oh, yeah, Olin Krut, I have a lot of respect for him. He played a long time in the league. Like, come on.
What? Hey, listen, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I find the whole thing kind of comical. I had no problem with him saying I own you and all that stuff. I don't even know that he got flipped off. I think he might have just been pumped up, but I don't know. He went down to his knees and put the belt on. And
pictures.
Someone,
I think somebody took some pictures that were blocked out.
But I mean, but, is that the first time he's gotten flipped off?
No.
I mean, you know, try to be on a Bears bus that drives into Green Bay, and you'll see some horror stories.
You're going to see some worse than horror stories. Yeah. You're going to see the backside of a lot of Packer fans.
There's going to be a lot of guys winking at you.
Yeah, yikes. That's worse. I mean, I'd rather get flipped off than mooned.
The old Wisconsin moon. Now, why the old Wisconsinite is mooning us is a different story. That's fine. I mean, the whole thing is kind of funny. The fact that he reacts to it is just – it just makes it worse. Just shut up and just do your thing. How do you feel about that? Hey, people get upset at football games. It's happened all the time. That's all.
They do.
And don't apologize. You know, you did it. Own it. Don't talk about the sensitive. Give me a break. The one time I've said something. Oh, that was.
Let's punch him in his face.
That's an honest reaction. I mean, you know, the fact that a guy could actually do it is a different story, but it's. Yeah, you don't like it. And, you know, I don't think anybody likes the fact that it's true that he does own the Bears. that he is 22-5 against him. And
that's the thing that you can.
That's
he,
it.
It's basically he can say whatever he wants.
He's allowed.
22-5.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's an MVP. And
if Justin Fields somehow ends up 22-5 in his career against the Packers, we will be embracing that in Chicago and allowing and empowering him to say whatever the heck he wants.
But, I mean, just own it.
Right.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, yeah, I probably shouldn't have, but I got caught up in the emotion of it. Yeah, I did it. Because you know what? I do own that team. There's nothing wrong with that. Own it. That's all. Just own it. The baseball yesterday, we had a couple of series began.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger owned the Braves.
Wow.
Can you imagine that high fastball?
Yeah.
In those circumstances, 96 miles per hour, eighth inning, five outs away from staring at a 3-0 hole, and Cody Bellinger belts a three-run home run to tie it, as clutch as they come.
Well, you know what's shocking? And I couldn't believe this when I read it, that apparently they were 0-83 when they were trailing by three runs after the seventh inning. They haven't done that before. That's like a first in the modern era Dodgers, because you look at them and you think they've had tons of success, but it hasn't been that type of come from behind success. So I'm sitting there watching that thinking, they're out
right,
of this thing.
They're
about to go
they're
down 3-0, well, and then boom goes the dynamite.
You had every reason to think that.
Yeah.
And I also saw, you know, these next-gen stats, which are fascinating.
Yeah.
It had been since 2008, since they started StatCast measuring these things, that somebody hit a 96-mile-per-hour fastball that high off the ground,
wow,
4 feet off the ground, and Luke Jackson got it, put it in the wrong spot. You think it's the right spot. You don't think Cody Bellinger is going to do that with a fastball that high, and yet – He delivered, and and all of a sudden his anemic batting average during the regular season meant nothing.
And the Astros, they played the role of the Red Sox. They were the ones with the big bats in that game. So, you know, you got one series tied up and one series down to 2-1 instead of 3-0. That's going to hurt. If you're Atlanta and you're that close to getting a 3-0 lead, that's going to leave a mark.
It feels like the Dodgers tied the series 2-1.
Yeah, really. That's exactly right. That's well put. All right, we got the 5-5 next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5-5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5-5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What do you make of Robert Quinn being put on the reserve COVID-19 list by the Bears? How big an impact does that have on the Bears' pass rush without a revived Quinn, who currently has 5.5 sacks among the league-leading 21 the Bears have produced as a team?
I mean, could there be more bad news? It's terrible. You know, here's the thing. You lose guys to injury, that's okay, right? But to lose a guy to COVID-19 during the football season, a year after no crowds were there, that's kind of a disaster. That's something, you know, I hate to say this because it's going to sound, I don't know that it's preventable, but when you lose someone to something like this, it's as bad as an injury. You're losing playing time. And it's a guy that is playing as well as you mentioned, David, as well as anyone on that defense, as well as anyone on that team. And now you lose a guy, and you're going to have to make do without him? Haven't we seen that before? Isn't that kind of a train wreck? It is. Like, I don't know that they had much of a chance going down to Tampa, but I would imagine they have a significantly less of a chance going down to Tampa. So, total mess, total disaster, really upsetting.
Well, if you're Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians, and heck, let's face it, Tom Brady, and you're diagnosing the Bears defense this week and how to attack it, and you're looking at Robert Quinn on tape, you're thinking, okay, we didn't see that last year. This is a guy that we have to account for every snap, every third and long, every passing situation. And now just imagine removing that from the equation. And the Bears just became a lot more beatable if they weren't already. And that defense became a lot more ordinary rather than they having their extraordinary moments. And Robert Quinn supplied a lot of them this year. So it's a big loss. I find it really interesting, and I want to think about that more, about how, you know, who's responsible for this? Or is there anyone to hold responsible when you have a COVID situation like the Bears are now facing? Because it is not just one player. It's not an isolated incident. It's potential of a spread. And how far will this spread? And if it goes further than this, who do you hold responsible? Because some point in time, you're going to have to ask those tough questions if you're Ryan Pace, if you're Ted Phillips, if you're George McCaskey. As for the game, Travis Gibson gets a chance probably to come in and contribute a little bit more, but he's not Robert Quinn. It's a big impact. They weren't going to win anyway.
Mario Edwards can give you a nice penalty at some point.
He can give you – hey, he's good for at least one unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. He might get two now that he'll get more snaps.
Yeah, there you go.
As long as he has a good ratio between penalties and sacks, you know, I think that would be something to keep an eye on. But yeah, this is bad news for a team that already is up against it this week, and they go down to Tampa. The challenge just became even greater.
Well, having COVID is never good news, so that's the most obvious answer to this question. But let's look at it this way. You know, we were joking around, Mully, in the first segment of the show about now, because Mr. Bush is on the IR, that you can't get rid of the other safety who's fraudulent at his position. Well, now, because of this, the Bears can't get rid of Mario Edwards. You could play the same game, like, if people are that upset. I mean, I was surprised. I mean, Tom Thayer, who I respect a lot. I mean, Tom Thayer.
Get him off the field?
Really down on Mario Edwards Jr. right now. So, David, you brought up Gibson. But here's what I hope to see. And this is what I hope the side does. I will not say that Gibson is Quinn. But I hope that he's willing to run the same type of games that everybody's fallen in love with and noticed that the Bears have been doing when they've had Quinn and Mack lined up on the same side and doing some stunts or games, whichever way you want to talk. I want to see if that can still work, because is Robert Quinn that much better this year, or is Sean Desai using him better? And I think that's to be determined. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I mean, potentially.
I think he's healthy.
He's healthier.
I think that he is.
He's not healthy now, right?
Well, there you go.
Well, we don't. You know, the one thing we need to probably have an asterisk by everything we're saying here.
Yes.
It's one positive test. He still has an opportunity that he could pass protocol.
Well, we don't, right? He's not. We don't know.
We don't know
if he's vaccinated or not.
Yeah, we don't
know. We don't know that. But right. There is a possibility that he could be back before Sunday.
And Damian Williams, we don't know if he's vaccinated or not. If he isn't, he could play on Sunday.
Absolutely,
provided,
correct.
You know, it's a 10-day thing,
yeah,
where you have to sit out for 10 days. If he could, I mean, I think Saturday would be 10 days if he could, you know, get his negative test in. But we don't know.
And
we
Quinn doesn't need to practice. We talked about that. Like, Quinn's a guy, if he doesn't practice all week, he can still go get Tom. If his job is to go get Tom Brady, then go get Tom Brady.
But Quinn has a career under his belt, is what I was getting at. You know,
sure,
that he's a player. I think the foot, the problem he had last year was physical. And I don't know that other players that plug in there can be the kind of player that he is. There's a reason they paid him.
Last year was the exception for Robert Quinn because of the injury.
Yes. Yes.
I just hope they try to use somebody the same way, is, I guess, my biggest point. Like, don't get away from what's been working schematically because you don't have that player available.
Scoreboard Update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. We're going to talk about it all morning. The Bears are going to be potentially without Robert Quinn, and they'll potentially be without their backup running back due to COVID-19 list as a result of positive tests. Also, Deion Bush has been moved to the IR. The CBS crew of Nance, Romo, and Wolfson are calling the game Sunday. It's a CBS game. It's a 3:25 kick, and right now, the Bucs are favored by 12.5. NFL Week 7 gets underway tomorrow, Broncos at Browns. Tonight, right here on the Score, 5:45, the Bulls open up their season in Detroit against the Pistons. You can listen to Chuck and Bill right here. Bulls favored by 5 points. The NBA opened up last night. Bucks got their championship rings, and then they beat the Nets 127-104. Giannis 32 points. Warriors beat the Lakers 121-114. Steph Curry a triple-double. Blackhawks start the season 0-3-1. They fell to the Islanders on home ice 4-1. Got a late goal about 27 seconds left in that one. ALCS tied 2 games each. Astros score 7 times in the ninth for a 9-2 win. 34-2 runs for the Astros this postseason. Game 5 this afternoon, 4:08 first pitch. Chris Sale throws. Cody Bellinger smacks a 3-run home run. Bottom of the 8th to tie the game 5-5. Mookie Betts delivered, putting the Dodgers up 6-5, and they finally get a win in that series. So it's now 2-1 in favor of the Braves. Game 4 tonight, 7:08 first pitch. Join the Cats at Ryan Field for matchups with Minnesota and Iowa. You can buy tickets. NUSports.com.
It's definitely a valid question by you.
How big a blow is it to lose Deion Bush to an injured reserve stint with a quad injury? Bush, who has played 40% of the defensive snaps and 60% of the special team snaps, will now miss at least the next 3 games. Does that effectively scrap any plans to bench any unproductive safeties?
Well, for the record, to be fair, I guess, that was only my plan to bench an unproductive safety, or our plan, if you want to take credit.
I'll second
it. Okay. I don't know that the Bears ever considered, let's just say that, benching Eddie Jackson. I'm sure somebody in house hall might have maybe discussed it in passing. Maybe. I'm not sure of that, but they should have. Eddie Jackson is not going to be benched, especially now. Deion Bush was just getting to the point where you trusted him more. You felt like this was a season where he was coming into his own as a professional. And it's a shame that he now has to sit out 3 games with an injury. He can still come back and contribute. But when you look at the numbers, you see the gradual trust that has been increasing by the Bears and Deion Bush. I think they're going to miss him. I do think they're going to miss him in time. 40%, quite a few snaps. DeAndre Houston Carson will get maybe more of an opportunity now. You're going to have to get more out of Tayshaun Gibson, which I think there was some maybe rotation at times. Tayshaun Gibson's snaps, I think, were reduced a little bit. And you saw maybe why, because he missed a couple tackles that were glaring mistakes and problems. So I think the Bears are just going to have to improve their play at the safety position. They're not going to have to, you know, they don't have any alternatives. And Deion Bush being on the injured list gives them one fewer.
I would say, with all due respect, whether it is your plan or our plan or who's ever planned, You watch the guy play, and everybody was coming up with their own version of a plan.
Yeah.
Because he is not playing well enough, period, end of story. I'm talking about Eddie Jackson.
Right.
So anybody that is a live, breathing body on the roster is someone that you'd have to contemplate, because this guy has let us down, let himself down, let the team down.
All I was trying to say was that we have not heard that from the Bears.
But I have, as you know, we understand that if you see it, they see it too. If it's obvious to you that there have been these missed tackles and these mistakes,
right? You hope.
Surely they see that too. Now, they also understand what the difference is between the players. There is a hierarchy where you have one guy who is the starter and then a backup and all the way down the roster. And you do that because of everything you know about all those players. But like us, they see that this guy has not been performing up to snuff. And like all the ex-Bears players that see it as well, Lance Briggs, everyone knows what's been going on with Eddie Jackson. So he needs to be better, period, end of story. The problem now is that this potentially was one guy that you could have benched him for. You could have had him sit down and watched a little bit, just taught him, hey, jobs are earned. They're not just given. And he's got to earn that starting spot.
Yeah, it's disappointing that he's not going to be there. But it's you got to, at this point in the season, you got to play with that next man up mentality. I know that's kind of coach speak or organizational speak, but let's see what DeAndre Houston Carter can do. How many special team snaps does DeAndre Houston Carter take? I'm assuming probably about the same, but you know, can he play both positions? Can Duke Shelley kind of slip maybe in? I know he's the backup. He's kind of the backup nickel corner. Is he able to slip in? Could we have an Artie Burns sighting? You know, can one of these other cornerbacks move into the backup and step up a notch and offer more on special teams? That's what we'll have to look for. It's disappointing. You just hope that Eddie Jackson, he's obviously hearing it. He hasn't been able to tune out the outside noise. And I'll tell you what, if he does play better against Tampa, because he really can't play worse, right? So the bar right now is set really low for him. Then good for Lance Briggs and good for former Bears and good for us for getting on his case. If that's what it takes to light a fire under his rear end, then kudos to all of us. And as Lance Briggs said last night right here on The Score, I don't have too much to say about it right now, but if he plays poorly again, I will basically light him up on Sunday. And that's fair. That's what Lance – see, Eddie Jackson's paid to hit people. It's football is a full-contact sport. Okay, and Lance Briggs played. At least, listen. Lance Briggs might have missed a lot of tackles. I am not a Lance Briggs for the Hall of Fame. But one thing Lance Briggs didn't mind doing was making contact. He realized as a linebacker, his job was to make contact. So when he actually got to a ball carrier or to a receiver, there was contact, and the contact was heavy. And I appreciated that.
I just wonder if I agree with everything you said. I wonder if Eddie Jackson really did get paid to tackle people, or if he got paid to take the ball away. You know, it seems like when he was paid, he was this kind
ball
of...
ball hawk?
Yes.
The problem is that he got rewarded for being a ball hawk, yes, which he deserved.
Yes.
But he reinforced...
hasn't been one since.
It reinforced in him that this is the way I'm doing the job well. I'm doing it right, and I don't have to be physical because I can get away with not being that guy.
And you know what? If he was getting a pick a game, if he was collecting fumbles and running them back, if he were making plays, I don't think anyone would be complaining about his tackling. But the fact that he can't make any of those plays that they paid him for and doesn't tackle well is a real issue.
Hasn't had an interception since 2019.
That's a big problem.
Well, that's a good question.
Speaking of Eddie Jackson, how do you read his taking down of a 10-year-old tweet critical of Lance Briggs tackling from Pro Football Focus? Was it a bigger mistake to retweet or take the tweet down? Is all forgiven, or should Eddie just start making tackles?
All will be forgiven if he starts playing better, I'll tell you that. In fairness to Eddie Jackson, I don't know that he's the guy running his own social media account, okay? It is perfectly conceivable that when you make that kind of money, you have like a publicist or some family member or some friend of the family, whatever, who works for you, who is responsible for your social media account. And it is conceivable, I'm not claiming this happened, that whoever did that didn't like hearing from Lance Briggs and so went back and found a tweet and retweeted it, and then Eddie told him, take it down. That makes me look like a fool. Either way, it's under his name and it's under his control. I thought it was stupid to tweet that. I thought it was just totally beyond the point, and you know, you don't blame the messenger, right? So I thought that was a huge mistake to tweet it. I also thought it was a huge mistake to take it down because it just underscores what a big mistake it was to tweet it. So I would say bad move followed by a bad move. The first move was the worst.
If only Twitter had the edit function, right? Because you could go back and correct your mistakes without having to delete tweets, and it stands out, and it does look worse having deleted the tweet that you regretted, you know, tweeting in the first place. It also reinforces why every NFL team should probably, maybe in 6 months, they're gonna need a social media coordinator. They're gonna have an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, a special teams coordinator, and a Twitter coordinator.
When will he speak?
I don't know. I guess he'll speak on Sunday nights, apparently, loudly and amplified fashion. Yeah, this was avoidable. It was regrettable, and it was something that, you know, Eddie Jackson Just needs to be a better professional in every facet. He needs to tackle better. He needs to accept criticism better. And he just needs to grow up.
Yeah, growing up would be great. Making tackles would be great. Here's another thing that we don't know. Maybe somebody, I'm not saying hacked his account. We're not going to play that game. If we ever hear Eddie Jackson talk about it, someone hacked. But perhaps somebody in his inner circle, like, felt like he was sticking up for his guy here. Like, you know, don't come down on my guy. So I'll teach you, Lance Briggs. And he did this. And he has access, and Eddie has given him access. But then Eddie thought, that wasn't what I wanted you to do on my behalf. Potentially, that might be a thing. But as you said, David, once it's out there, it doesn't matter. It's off his account. So, but again, forget all that. Like, you know, how about this? How about get off social media during the season? How about just get off of it?
Yeah, don't pay attention to.
Don't pay attention to it. Easier said than done. I know. But his job, again, I'll go back to the last question. It's to be physical. And I know, Mully, I don't disagree with you. You get paid for, like, sacking the quarterback. You get paid for the highlight reel. You know, tackling a ball carrier or a wide receiver in open territory doesn't usually make the da-da-da-da-da-da. But making an interception and taking it back for six, that's top 10 worthy material. We'll play it all day long right here on the Score. But you don't just play a good form tackle. But guess what? Good form tackling is what wins games. We heard Coach Wannstedt talk about how important tackling is right here yesterday.
You know, Dave, it's a good question.
What was your reaction to Aaron Rodgers' response to our guy Olin Krutz on this very show making this comment?
Like to punch him in his face.
With Rodgers on the Pat McAfee podcast saying that society had gone soft, was that a bigger comment or as big a deal as Rodgers suggesting maybe it wasn't his last game at Soldier Field as a Packer?
Well, I think that, to me, when you listen to Aaron Rodgers and he went on for a long time and they give him that forum and a platform, but the fact that he was getting nostalgic and talking about, well, maybe it wasn't his last time at Soldier Field. Maybe he could, he could be back. And he could be back to the scene of the crime, if you will. He could be in that same end zone next year at this time, talking about maybe losing to the Bears this time. I don't know, but when he said that, I'm like, oh, boy. So there are maybe fences to mend in Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers in the front office, but I wouldn't close that door entirely because he left it open a crack in what he said. The other thing is that, yeah, his response back and forth is fine. I know Olin was funny on the afternoon show yesterday responding to the response, and now we're going to get a response to the response and a reply to the response. I would like to see what I would prefer if somebody's going to really get upset about this publicly to create a stir that gets the attention of TMZ. I almost would prefer it be a current player, somebody whose pride may have been, damaged or ego bruised or whatever it was, or it ticked them off to the point where they publicly criticized what Aaron Rodgers did and said. And instead of a guy, with all due respect, Olin's our guy, but he hasn't played in a decade. And is a guy who retired 10 years ago, is he speaking on behalf of the entire Bears organization? Maybe I'd like to hear from a current player who is as offended as Olin Krutz was offended by what Aaron Rodgers had to say.
Well, if society's getting soft, Aaron Rodgers is leading the way, okay? I mean, come on. Look at this guy and his little pouty routine in the offseason. Are we kidding ourselves? You know, I'm leaving and I'm going to retire. You don't listen to me. You haven't listened to the... We'll give you Randall Cobb. Okay, well, I'll come back for a while, but I want to get out of here and I'm going to go. I wish I could do the baby Dustin voice, but I can't. But honestly...
Write me down a couple lines. I'll do it for you.
Yeah, I honestly think that if society's gone soft, then he's part of it, right? I think Aaron Rodgers... I like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a hell of a football player. And I think that he can be... He can be a pretty decent, thoughtful person. I also think he's a total prima donna, as he was called on this show by a certain member of our panel. And
did I call him a prima donna?
You called him a prima donna.
I remember using the word diva.
Diva. Maybe you called
him
a diva.
And prima donna, perhaps. I like prima donna better. It's hard to spell, though.
Diva.
One M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two N's. I just think, again, if society's gone soft, thanks, Aaron, for making our society soft.
There's a lot here to unpack. I'd like to start with this. I appreciate, and it's not because he's part, he could have said this on any television or radio station in this city, and I'd feel the same way. I appreciate what Olin Krutz said because he was speaking for fans of the Chicago Bears, not just in Chicago, but you know, worldwide fans. And I feel like if you, every former Bear that actually doesn't have a bad taste in their mouth from their experience with the Bears felt the same way. And you can only hope that the players in that locker room heard what Olin Krutz said. And I'm with David. I would like to hear that from a player. I know that might be hypocritical since I just said that Eddie Jackson should get off social media, but this is a little different. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I hope the McCaskies heard it. I hope they're aware that, Aaron Rodgers is telling people that he owns the Bears. And that's one of the reasons we continue to kind of mention it, have fun with it, because I'm hoping that that has an impact with them. And I you know, the McCaskies are Bear fans, okay? First and foremost, Bear fans. They really are. They love the team. They love the everything about it. And what an insult. And how who's in charge that allowed Aaron Rodgers to own the organization?
I'm just imagining Pat going to Georgia. Is that possible, Georgia? Am I looking at the fine print here?
Well, we understand metaphors, right? Yeah, I think they would too. Okay. But nonetheless, he does have personal ownership of the Bears in terms of the way that he beats them. And I got to tell you, when the way Olin played and the kind of leader he was, he had ownership of that team. And it must be hard for him to see that go by the wayside the way it did.
Well, to add on to that, you had said earlier, if we see it, then they see it. So I think they saw it. I fully expect them to see it. And David, you have as good of a relationship as anybody with George. I mean, would you be willing to make sure that he knew about it?
What, you want me to?
Email it to him or text it to him. Right.
Did you see what Olin said about Aaron Rodgers?
Text him a link to TMZ.
All right.
But, you know.
Maybe at the next Hawks game.
The next Hawks game. All right. But, you know, as far as society going, so I don't. I understand how you could infer that what Aaron Rodgers did was call Olin soft, but he wasn't calling Olin soft. He was calling
society
soft.
Yeah.
But you know, there's so much there. I think the number one takeaway is I hope that the Bears that actually can still get on the field with Aaron Rodgers, you know, there's a payback for that. Cuz even if they lose again to the Packers, which more than likely they will, you know, I'll take a Mario Edwards personal foul, but earn it. Like, earn the personal foul. Don't point at him.
You don't have to punch him in the face, but you can smack him in the face.
Not if you're Robert. You don't hit a quarterback because he's a friend.
But you can definitely use this the next time you play the Packers.
Hopefully there's an interception. Hopefully Aaron throws an interception. And then you know what? All 10 guys, other than the guy, go find Aaron and just blow him up. I love doing that back in the – like, where's the quarterback? He's going to try to block somebody? Just go blow him up.
I'm sorry, I have a question for you.
How many victories do you project from the Bulls? Who do you expect will lead this team in scoring? What is the biggest Bulls weakness?
Okay, so I think the biggest weakness is their defense, and I'm very curious to see if they can play defense. I think the thing that I'm going to be looking for tonight and certainly throughout the course of the early part of the season. I can't wait. We're going to get a chance to talk about it with Casey Johnson later in the program. I want to see how Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball, I just want to see the dynamic of those guys playing together. And, you know, I know that Lonzo is going to try to be the guy that is dishing the ball out, but I think you got a couple of guys that are fairly similar in their game. And I'm going to be really curious just to see how all this works, to see who the power forward is. Is Patrick Williams up and running? That would be awesome. I'm just really interested in how they're going to play, particularly how they're going to play defense. I think that Zach LaVine will end up, what's his career average, like 19 points? I know he scored like 27 last year. I think he'll be around 20 points a game. And I think that, you know, he's the kind of the reigning star on the team, and I think they'll feed him the ball, and I think he'll be able to get his. So I would say that it'll be Zach LaVine averaging less than he did a year ago, where he was kind of the number one slash only weapon. But I think they got a couple of all-stars now to join with him. And, you know, I think Lonzo Ball will play a really good team game. I think they'll get out and they'll run. And I think if they can get out and run and score on the break, that will help them defensively. And that will reduce the kind of defense they need to play. But at some point, I want to see how they play defense. As far as victories are concerned, I don't think I'm asking too much to say 47 victories in this season.
Wow.
That's
a lot.
But that would be a very positive.
Oh,
that
would be a huge
jump. That would be a big jump.
Big jump.
But they got three new players.
Yeah, three new players. How they all work together, we'll wait and see. I think their biggest weakness is going to be rebounding. I feel like defensively they'll be probably a little better. They're more athletic. They're longer. They're quicker. And they could create more havoc. I think they're going to have a hard time rebounding with that lack of size, perhaps. I think they can get by.
I don't think they're going to miss any shots.
Yeah. No, not at all. They're going to shoot 85% from the field. So I think rebounding could be the biggest concern. They're going to have to find ways to get some key rebounds. I think overall, scoring-wise, Zach LaVine does average 19 points throughout his career, but with the Bulls in four seasons, 24.5. So he's a guy that's going to fill it up. I think that's going to continue. Vucevic's going to get his. Zach LaVine's going to get his. Both guys would probably not get as many shots with DeRozan and Lonzo Ball here.
Yep.
But I think overall, everything being relative, Zach LaVine's still going to lead your team in scoring. This is a good team. I think that Billy Donovan's going to find a way to bring it all together. It may not happen immediately. It may be a slow start as these guys get used to playing with each other. That chemistry develops that we heard Lonzo Ball talk about yesterday. It all starts with him. I think they're capable of winning 45 games. I'll say, but conservatively, 44.
So that's interesting. There's a lot here. I've joked in the past that when I was watching Bulls games the last couple of years, part of my job, I would put the remote by the television, then go sit down on the couch. And I usually don't recline because that usually, with the hours that we keep, will put me to sleep. But I would like sit on the couch I'd have to get up off the couch to get the remote to change the channel. Because at one point I would rather watch the DIY network than watch the Chicago Bulls. That's how bad they were. So, David, you just mentioned 44. Mully, you said 47, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say I'm more leaning towards 50.
Wow.
So the three of us should go over to Bet Rivers because right now their team total is 43.5, and we all like that. And David was being careful, I think, when he said 44. So you're a half game over, David, what they're predicting. How about this, though? And this is the most encouraging news to Bulls fans, even if you're not into the betting markets. So to reach the playoffs, yes, the Bulls are minus 186, meaning that you have to lay $186 to win 100. So we've got Joe O on at 742. We got Casey Johnson on at 8. And I think this is stuff that is really – I'm really curious to hear how Joe is betting this.
Yep.
And I'm really curious, you know, they have to make the playoffs. I think that would be a total disappointment if they didn't. They became watchable last year at the trade deadline, and then they kind of went down the drain. It was frustrating. But they did AK and his group, their hands now, their fingerprints are all over this team.
Yes.
This is their team.
Right.
The Gar Pax is in the past. So I think it's worth paying attention, and I'm excited. And I think I don't like laying 186 to win 100, but I do like betting over 43.5 at Bet Rivers.
All right, 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.